Okay, and it's now my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker, and that's Billy from Visalia. And he says when he gets in trouble, gets a little crazy, he calls people.
My name's Billy, I'm an alcoholic. And 13 years, and I've never done this. I've dodged it for 13 years. And, you know, I got sober at a young age, you know, and how that all came about was, you know, I grew up in a nice home. I had everything I wanted, you know. My mom raised 5 kids, and I was the last one, so I was spoiled rotten. And, you know, but my family did like to party a little bit, you know, and growing up as a kid, it was really fun watching them, you know, and you get a little older and, you know, the windows don't have glass in them no more and the doors don't shut because they're all kicked in. And, you know, but when I was growing up, you know, that I would go to sleep and I would wake up. And I'd go to sleep, and I'd wake up, and the same people would still be there the whole time. You know, and then on the weekends, we got to stay up late with them and shoot pool in the garage, and it was, you know, this is what I want to do. This is a lot of fun. Well, I succeeded. And, you know, I started drinking, you know, I had pictures of me when I was 5 years old with the Jack Daniels bottle and drinking, you know, I don't know if the lid was on it or not, you know, I hope not, with my dad right there and all his buddies, and it was entertaining for them. And, you know, they would have me 6 years old pound cans of beers just to watch me act like a fool, you know. And so later I got about 9 years old and my dad passed away from cirrhosis. And then I found this little green plant that I really enjoyed a lot. And, you know, and with that, you know, my mom's boyfriend worked at Budweiser. So he got to bring home expired beer. It still works just as good as non-expired beer. And, you know, it was hot and it was nasty, but it worked. You know, and we would sneak a 12-pack of Mad Red Dog. I don't know if they even make that anymore. Red Dog. It was not very good, and it was hot. You know, but it worked. You know, and me and my buddies would, you know, drink a couple beers, and when you're 9, it don't take a lot. And you know, it's you know, and I would drink it, and I would feel better for a while, then I would get sick and think, I'm not going to do this no more, and then the next day, guess what? We're doing it again, you know. And, you know, I didn't drink every day at 9, obviously, you know. And I got a little older, and we moved to Fresno, and I got hanging out with some really good people, and then I found out this other little substance that I really enjoyed a lot, you know, and it helped me drink a lot more, you know. And you know, I was 14 years old, you know, living in Fresno, and we had a friend of mine, his mom would go get us whatever we wanted as long as we gave her some. You know, it was perfect. You know, we'd get a big bottle of pop-off vodka because you can get 10 people drunk on it really quick, and it's $6. And,
it was $6.
Yeah, it was cheap, you know. And when you're 14 and you ain't got no job, you got mom. You know, I got $20 from my mom a week to go to Blackbeard's, and I've never been to Blackbeard's. I've never seen it, the inside of that place, and I've gotten, let's say, thousands of dollars to go there. And, you know, it went to other productive activities. And, you know, so I did that, and, you know, I was partying quite a bit. I dropped out of high school. I had a lot better things to do. And, you know, it was fun. You know, at the time it was a lot of fun, and you know, I got a guy in this meeting that's here is the last guy I ever did anything with, you know. And it's pretty neat seeing him getting sober now. But you know, I didn't really have a rough I didn't really have a rough part of drinking. You know, I was 14 years old, 15, and I was having fun, you know. My biggest thing was, you know, are the cops going to pull us over? Are they going to, you know, that was my biggest problem, you know, and it wasn't, not really a problem. You know, at the time I thought it was horrible. Now that I'm an adult, everything, shit, I wish I had only that problem, you know, and, you know, I got 17, 18, and, you know, I got pretty bad. I was partying with my mom now. She got tired of trying to stop me, so I guess it's easier to join. You know, we partied together, and, you know, it made it a lot easier for me. I didn't have to hide shit. You know, we just made it easy. We just partied together, and, you know, I think about it now, and it's, you know, it's pretty bad, you know, for even me. For her, and then, you know, for me, she don't even like to talk about it to this day, you know, and I don't blame her. You know what, I have family in recovery that got sober in 95, and I used to come to this room right here when I was 11 years old, not sober, and go to dances, and I'd come down here all the time and hang out with them, and I thought, wow, what a bunch of weird people. Yeah. You know, they drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes. And lo and behold, I became one of them weird people smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee all the time. And, you know, I seen their life when I was growing up. That was part of the household, that the windows were not there and, you know, the door jams were all kicked in and the cops were, you know, they like just came. They didn't have to get called. They just came over because they knew. And I seen when they got sober, and I'd go to their house, and I would say, holy shit, the door's shut, and they latch, you know, and I seen the lifestyle change. I seen the not screaming at each other, you know, not, the cops weren't, hadn't coming by hanging out, you know, just because they knew something was going on, you know, and I kind of like, I thought, wow, you know, I know, I didn't realize that, what recovery really did until I seen that. You know, I thought they just quit drinking, you know, and I didn't know the whole step work and all that stuff at the time. And, you know, so I moved to Visalia. I moved back from Fresno to Visalia, and I got a job with a guy named Joe Ward, who was in recovery. And he gave me a job roofing, paid me cash. Now, this is perfect. You know, I'd get up in the morning and do some little white substance, go to work all day and go home and drink till I passed out every day. And I thought, this is great. You know, I sleep, so I'm not really a drug addict because I sleep every night. You know, it made sense. You know? Wasn't it? You know, and I would do this every day. You know, and you know, I got tired of it. You know, and I really didn't know what to do, and I got a resentment from my, where I was staying at. I left my weed. I know it's an AME, but it's part of the whole thing. I left my weed at the house, and I told them they could have some, but I didn't tell them they could have all of it. And they smoked all of it. And I got a resentment. Then I moved out. I grabbed my TV and phew, I was gone. That's all I had, was a TV and a backpack full of clothes. And, you know, it was the best decision I ever made because I had family in recovery, like I said. And, you know, they told me, you can stay with us. Just keep your stuff out of my house. Right on. Works for me. You know, pay $100 a month rent. You know, it was free range to the refrigerator and everything. You know, when you're smoking that little green plant, the refrigerator is nice. And you know, and I lived at their house. You know, and I watched these people. You know, I'd be sitting there on the couch with a big, huge bowl of cereal. You know, and there'd be people in recovery. There'd be people, Ole and Johnny Mac. You know, these people, Roy. You know, and I'd be, you know, or drinking or whatever the case may be. And, you know, it started to get a little uncomfortable. You know, and, you know, they're all riding Harleys. You know, they all had their shit together is what they had. And I had this pissant $8 an hour job, which at 13 years old wasn't bad, cash. But I had nothing to show for it. You know, I had nothing. I was riding a bicycle still. You know, I didn't have my driver's license, nothing. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna try to just quit. I don't think I'm an alcoholic. You know, I'm 18. How alcoholic could I be? And then about 3 days of not drinking, I found out how much it was. And you know, I said, you know what, I'm going to go to a meeting. I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna give it a shot. You know, and I came down to this room on a Wednesday night, I think. I think it was a Wednesday night meeting, and you know, I've been sober ever since. You know, and how that happened is those 12 steps right there on the wall. You know, and I got a sponsor up early. You know, and I got a sponsor that was a well-known person. You know, he helped a lot of people stay sober. You know, and I thought, well, I'll give him a shot. You know, and right away, here's a pencil, here's a pad, start writing. And I'm like, shit. You know, I dropped out of school because I didn't like doing work. So here we go again, you know. And you know what, I did it. You know, I went home and I started writing. You know, and every time I did work the step with them, it seemed like life got a little bit better. You know, there were still bumps in the road, but it got a little bit better. And you know, I didn't have a lot of wreckage. I was 18. You know, I didn't have lost a house and my, you know, my wife, all that. I didn't have all that stuff, and so it wasn't as bad. But there was some stuff, like when I got to my fourth step, that, you know, I didn't really want to tell nobody about. You know, and you know, I did it. You know, I went home. I worked that first step, and right away, man, he was on it. You know, to make sure. And when we got to the fourth step, which I think it's part of recovery, is you got to procrastinate on the fourth step because everybody works it up like it's a big deal. And you know, I wrote it all out, and then I would say, I'm not done yet, and then I was done. And I'd say, you know, I got a little bit more, and then, you know, and I say, oh, I can't make it now. I'm done, but I can't make it. And one day, he calls me and says, you got the fourth step done, right? Yeah. He goes, good, I'm outside. And I'm like, there's nothing I can do now, you know. And so we, you know, there was a bunch of people at the house, so we went out in the garage and did a four step, did a fifth step prayer on the seat of the Harley, and it was pretty neat, you know. And you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was really easy, actually. And you know, it's been, you know, and then making the amends list, and, you know, turning my, you know, when I got here, I didn't believe in God. You know, my dad died when I was 9. I had a lot of issues with, you know, I don't know that I didn't believe, I didn't know. You know, I was in a house that grew up going to church, that's for sure. The only time God was mentioned was in vain, for sure. And, you know, it was not a spiritual household I grew up in, that's for sure. And, you know, I didn't believe in God, you know, and it was a struggle at first, you know, because I was looking at all the negative stuff that's happened. You know, my dad died when I was 9, you know, all this other, you know, that was the big one. You know, how could this loving God take a child's father from him at 9 years old? And the way he went, too, was horrible. And, you know, he was 40-something years old, died of cirrhosis. That's pretty, you know, it was not good. You know, so I was angry, you know, and I got worked through the steps, and I realized that, you know, there is a God. My niece was a drug baby for a big part of her pregnancy, and she was born 100% healthy. Not a thing wrong with her. Except her attitude. that's just part of the family. And you know, I looked at those things. You know, I looked at, I'm 18 years old and I'm getting sober now, or I could wait till I'm 30 and have all kinds of baggage, you know. And you know, I started looking at those things, and life got a lot better once I did that. Once I discovered God and applied Him in my life started getting a whole lot better. And you know, so life's going along good. You know, I got a decent job. You know, I'm staying sober. I'm in service. You know, I was secretary in meetings. I was treasurer in meetings. I did the GSR, which is, you know, thank God for those people, because I don't want to do it. You know? I did it because I was asked to do it, and I will turn it down now politely. I do not. And you know, but I think it's really important to do service, you know. I've been down here waxing these floors at 2 a.m, you know, to help here. I worked at Lana Club counter for years, you know, but it helped me stay sober. I was around people that weren't drinking. And you know, I had a lot of fun in recovery. You know, I shared this at my home group last week, but we had a guy that spoke or shared the meeting and brought up a lot of the old stuff, you know. And you know, when I first got here, you know, we used to, it was different. You know, after the meetings, we'd go have coffee, and we'd be there at Murrow's till 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, and you know, sitting up talking after the meetings till 10 o'clock, which we do that now on Monday nights, but. You know, it just seemed different, but I think it's the same. I think my life's changed more than anything, you know. I've grown up and got responsibilities. And so, you know, I'm 19 years old, in recovery. You know, I got the Harley that I wanted. I got the motorcycle, and I'm like, this is great, you know. And, you know, there was a motorcycle club around here when I got sober, and that's a big part of what got me sober, is I wanted to ride with them guys. And it was, you know, it came true. You know, I finally got the bike and I got the stuff. And, you know, we had a lot of fun, man. I'd get off work on Friday night and we would take off for 4 hours riding and go to a motorcycle run for the weekend. And the only thing we took was a sleeping bag, a tent, and us. That was it, man, and clothes. The Sunday coming home is not a good, if you're around us, it was not good. You know, you ride 4 hours on a motorcycle in 100 degree weather, it is not good. You know, and you know what, we had fun. We had a lot of fun. And that's what they told me when I got here. He says, if you're going to come in here and you're going to be bored, you're not going to do nothing, you might as well go back. Because you want to come in here and enjoy your life. You know, and you know, I enjoyed it to the most I could. You know, and so I was doing all that, and then I met this girl. You know, and you know, it worked out great for quite a long time. We were just friends hanging out, you know, and it was great. You know, no commitment. You know, and then you know, that little heart that goes in here that starts feeling stuff, you know, neither one of us would have ever thought in a million years that we'd be married now for 8 years, you know. And, you know, and relationships in recovery is very, very difficult, you know. You know, we met, you know, and then, you know, we had a little girl, you know, and I shared this in my meeting Monday night. This was not my plan at all. You know, I was okay with being single and no children. I was okay with it. You know, and you know, what got me sober was the motorcycle. I wanted nice things. You know, and if I'm spending my money on other things, I can't get those nice things. So, you know, I got them. You know, I had a decent truck. I had a nice bike. I had my own place. Me and my buddy had our own house. You know, life was really good, you know, and that's what I thought recovery was about, was the objects, you know, the getting the car and the motorcycle and all that stuff. And, you know, then I had my daughter. My wife had my daughter. I didn't really have her. I helped a little bit, but you know, when she was born, I thought, this is what recovery is about. You know, and I never thought I could love something so much in my life, you know, and you know, it's been interesting, to say the least. You know, it's you know, she got diagnosed with a really rare disease, you know, and then, you know, that we were talking about it also in Monday night meeting. You know, there'll come a time between you and God, whether you drink or not. And that day at the hospital when they told us that, that was that moment. You know, and it came, and it was gone. You know, and I called people, like she said. You know, I called, and you don't realize the people that are there to help you until something like that happens. You know, I mean, boom, everybody. You know, they were filling up my gas tank because you're driving back to Fresno every day. It's a lot of work, you know. It takes a lot of time and a lot of money because I had to go to work and then go to, you know, I was working six tens. You know, I was working a lot of hours in Pixley. So I would go to work, come home, shower, drive to Fresno, drive home at night, go to work. And, you know, I'd come home, my yard would be mowed, you know, and it was just neat to see in the fellowship doing what they do. You know, when I have friends that are, I do the same thing for them. But you don't realize it until it's done for you, how much it really affects you, you know, and, so we deal with that, you know, and, you know, what a blessing, you know, to realize how grateful I am for what I have. You know, and you know, I shared this last week as well that I don't tell my wife enough how grateful I am for her for what she does. You know, I'm glad I get to go to work every day. To stay home and do what she does is a lot harder than what I do. You know, it would drive me crazy staying home, and you know, it's a tough deal. You know, and the great thing about the fellowship is they step up in that aspect too. You know, they call, how are you guys doing? Just a phone call, how are you guys doing, it helps a lot, you know. And, you know, when I apply these principles of my life in all my affairs, when my daughter got sick, and I want to strangle the nurses and these doctors, and, you know, I have a little flag in Korea Delta next to my daughter's name, and, I probably owe some people an amends. You know, speaking of that, my buddy James' son was in the hospital, and I'm visiting him, and here comes a nurse that I told her several obscene gestures, and you know, when they're messing with your kid, and they come in there and they start hooking her up, and then they'll talk to you, you kind of get a little angry, and you know, I wasn't quite ready to make amends yet. She remembered me. She remembered me, and we talked a little bit, and then James said, "Don't you know her amends?" And I thought, "No, I don't think so." and I probably did. You know, I probably did. You know, and you know, I just whenever I go to speak or go to chair a meeting, I start thinking, you know, and everybody's like, I'm thinking, what am I going to talk about, you know? And what I was taught when I first got sober was just say a little prayer before you go there and speak, you know, share from your heart, and hope that somebody can get something from you. And if one person can stay sober, then it's worth it, you know. And I know I'm going to stay sober, so it was worth it there, you know. And you know, today, what I do today to stay sober is, you know, like, I have a sponsee, I have one, and I have 13 years, and I just the last 2 years, I had the first sponsee stay sober. He just celebrated 2 years a month ago or so, and, you know, out of all the things that I've done, the coffee and all that other stuff, that is the most rewarding service work ever. You know, watching him, you know, he's the same way. He got sober, and he met the girl from he was friends with in high school, in elementary school. They grew up together, and now they're married and have a kid, and he's got a great job. And watching him do the steps and progress, man, it's amazing to see. And you know, what doing that with him helped me stay sober. It helped me get back in the book. Because when you're not having no sponsee, it's kind of easy just to be all, set it over there and not read it, you know. And when you have a sponsee, you got to be up on your game a little bit. I can't be telling them to do stuff, and I forgot that I even did it, you know. And, you know, it's an awesome deal. You know, I was going to share this part, you know, for people in here that, you know, have been here a little while. You know, I came here, and I had about 5 years sober. And I stopped going to meetings. And I stopped, you know, I hung out with people in recovery, but I stopped really going to meetings and doing the program. It's not a very healthy thing to do. You know, if you're new and you haven't done that, don't do it. You know, I was one bad thing happening away from getting drunk. You know, I was right there. you know, and you know, I didn't really think about it, but I was angry, man. I would road rage worse than I have now, because I have it pretty bad still, but it was even worse. And, you know, just angry, you know, with my wife, you know, real short-tempered. And it's funny that I never realized I should probably go to meeting again, and I would probably go away. You know, it's really hard to start going again, you know, for some reason. I don't know why. It doesn't make any damn sense. It works, it makes your life better, but I'm just not going to do it because I'm stubborn. You know? There's football on tonight, so I can't go to the meeting. You know? You know, it's recovery is a really, really awesome thing. You know, I've seen, I would say thousands of people come in here and never seen them again. You know, and it really sucks. Especially when you get close to those people and then they're gone. You know, and, so for me, I just don't get close to people. You know, it takes a little while. You know, I don't like it. I don't like the feeling, all that shit. You know, I don't like it. So I just don't, you know, I keep my distance. And, you know, but when you do get close to somebody and you see them start getting their life back together, you know, it's just, it's the most amazing thing that I've ever seen in my life. You know, and, you know, helping other alcoholics, you know, I think that's the best service work we could do. And, you know, today I try to do that, and, you know, not just sponsoring them, you know, if a guy needs a ride to the meeting or whatever the case may be, you know, I try to help as much as I can. You know, I just celebrated 13 years 2 days ago. It was my birthday. And, if you would have told me 13 years ago that I'd be sitting up here speaking for the first time in a speaker meeting, you know, and married with a kid, you know, decent job, I would have told you were nuts, man. Because my goal in life was to be this old man sitting on the recliner, smoking a doobie, with a bottle of Jack, a little cup of Jack Daniels right there, with the bottle right next to it. You know, that was my goal. That was my, and you know, because I grew up, that's what, you know, it was drugs and alcohol. It was the only thing I knew growing up. And you know, my dad was a Vietnam veteran, so he, when he got back, he partied, man. You know, and that's all I seen growing up. And you know, today I have, you know, I have family. My family now, my brothers, they're, they drink a lot. I'm not gonna say he's an alcoholic. He says he's a drunk alcoholic for the meetings. And you know, we had Thanksgiving at my house for the first year this last year. You know, we had a poker game, and they were getting toasted, man. You know, I said, I'll buy you some Jack Daniels. You know, it doesn't bother me today. I could do it. You know, I could be around it. There is a fifth of Jack Daniels on my counter at my house, and I don't even think twice about it. You know, that's because I've done those 12 steps, and I apply the principles of my life daily. You know, and I have no desire to drink anymore. None. You know, it's not there. You know, and I have to thank the people in these rooms for that, you know, because I'm definitely an alcoholic. I like to do stuff to the extreme, no matter what it is, you know. You know, if I can't just do a little bit, you know. When I first got here, I really thought, you know, am I an alcoholic? You know, I can't even go to the bar. Am I really an alcoholic? And, you know, I asked my sponsor that. So I said, you know, I'll just go to NA. Because I know, I damn well know I was part of that one. And, you know, I talked to my sponsor about it, and he says, what happened when you took that first drink? And I said, I don't remember. You know? Exactly. I didn't drink every day, but when I drank until I couldn't drink no more. You know, and then I found that little white powder substance, and I could drink a whole lot more. You know, and, you know, my life is just so much better today than it was, you know, 10 years, 13 years ago, you know, 15 years ago. You know, I thought it wasn't horrible because I was young, like I said. But, you know, my head wasn't clear. You know, my main goal in life was to find a way to change the way I felt. You know, and today I wake up in the morning and I thank God every day for what I have, you know. for my wife, for my daughter, you know, for all the family that I have that, you know, if anybody here knows me or my family, they're nuts, you know, and you know, half the time nobody's talking to the other one, you know, but, you know, I am still grateful for, you know, if my brother-in-law and my sister didn't get sober when they did, I probably wouldn't be here right now, you know, because I saw that, and they said, yeah, you can come and move in, and people were pissed off, man, when they said, you can't have him living in your house doing those things. He says, you pay my rent, and you can tell me what people do, you know, and if he wouldn't have let me move into his house, you know, he knew what he was doing. You know, he said, yeah, you can stay here. You know, and he thought, maybe if you come and live with us, you'll see. You know, and it worked. You know, and, you know, there's been rough times in my life in recovery. But instead of drinking, I pick up the phone. Or, you know, Jack Ramsey would say it all the time, put the pen to the paper, it's magic. You know, and it's true. You know, and when I first got here, they would stand up here with their feet to the damn podium and cussing at you, and you know, you were like, holy crap, these guys are nuts, man. And you know, it was after a few months, I realized, yeah, you know what, I belong here. You know, I fit right in. You know, and you know, I'm just, my life today is just awesome. You know, I'm so grateful for the December 7th, 2002, I decided to do what I did. And, you know, I got great friends today. You know, me and my friend Tommy were talking, if I start running out of stuff to do, we can just talk about sports, because I could talk about sports for hours, you know? And, you know, it's great. You know, we go to his house and we watch boxing match, and we go to his house and watch, I'm a Cowboys fan, he's a Giants fan, and we go over there and we have fun, talk a little crap, and neither one of us are drinking, and we don't have to drink, and we remember everything that we had, all the fun we had, we remember it the next day, you know. And you know, it's awesome, you know, the hanging out with people in recovery. You know, I get to help he's my family, you know, not by blood, by marriage, but you know, I talk to this guy more than I talk to the one that he married that's part of my family, you know. And you know, it's crazy how it works, you know. But to me, he's more family to me than she is, you know. You know, and you know, it was awesome that I got to be able to help him when he was ready, you know. And you know, to me, that's, like I said earlier, that's the best gift that we can give in recovery, is to help another person, you know. And then when he's the last guy I party with, and we've been in recovery for a little while, 2 years or so, about 10 years ago, and then now again, you know, to see that, then it's great to be able to be there, you know, and for him to come back and boom, I'm still here. So obviously something's working. You know, if you do those 12 steps and you apply the principles in your life, I haven't met a person yet that's wanted to stay sober, working the steps, going to meetings, helping other people, it's drink. I haven't met them yet. What's the first thing you hear when they come back? Well, I stopped going to meetings, like I did a while back, and I thank God that I didn't drink. You know, I, like my sponsor says, you know, I would skip Monday night meeting, my home group meeting for a football game. And then I'm a Cowboys fan. And he says, well, next time you're in a pickle, call Tony Romo. If I had his number, I'd probably call him. But you know, I need to get my priorities in order. And Monday night football is not it. You know, I'm going to that. Dallas played last week. And they actually won. And I really thought in my mind, I promised my friend Tommy that I'm coming to the meeting, you know. And if I didn't promise him I was coming, I probably wouldn't have made it. And when I showed up there, I got to hear somebody speak that I haven't heard in a while. And it was a fantastic meeting, you know, and I'm so glad I went. You know, it's funny that I know what works, and I still avoid it sometimes. You know, it's sick, man. It's really sick. You know, if you have a cold and you get some, maybe if you're sick and you go to the doctor and they give you a prescription, you take it. Well, I need to apply that same thing here. You know, I still do it today. James says, hey, let's go to the meeting. I'm like, no, I'm tired. You know, I can go to a meeting. It's an hour. You know. You know, I'm so grateful. You know, I think that's the biggest thing in my life. You know, I'm like, you know, my wife got to come down here and hear me speak tonight. You know, and a lot of my friends are here, and you know, I was a nervous wreck, man. She's like, "You talk all the time. What's the problem?" And I'm like, everybody's watching me now, and you know, it's a little different when you talk for 15 minutes or 45 minutes. It's a lot different, and you know, if you're new to this program, you know, I would highly recommend, you know, getting a sponsor. You know, go to as many meetings as you can. You know, I was down here the first 2 years of my recovery. Every day I went to a meeting down here. You know, and it helped me stay sober. You know, it was really difficult at 18 years old to fit in down here. It was really difficult. You know, I was definitely the youngest person besides the people's children running around here. You know? And, you know, I'm grateful for the people that took me under their wing and said, you know what, come with us, you know. Ken Rizzo and a lot of those people said, you know what, and it helped who my family was, helped a little bit with that, but it was a great, great, great decision I made, you know. My life would not be what it is today without that. And, you know, my wife, like I said before, I can say it a million times how grateful I am for what she does. You know, I don't tell her enough. I should. You know, and my sponsor, and all the people in recovery, you know, every day something somebody says, you know, and will pop into my mind and help me through something I'm going through at the time. And that's another thing I learned in recovery too, is no matter what you're going through, somebody in this room has gone through it before you, you know, and they will help you out with it. You know, you don't have to go through nothing alone. You know, I've learned that as well. When my daughter got sick, man, people lined up to help us, you know, and I think that's the gift of recovery to me, is to help another alcoholic. You know, I just can't stress that enough, is when you get done with the 12 steps, boom, you need to be helping people right away. You know, and, you know, I've had one sponsee stay sober, but to me, all the sponsees I had are successful because I stayed sober through every one of them. You know, and I'm... The people that go back out, it sucks, but I'm almost grateful when they come back, because I see how they look, and I see what they've gone through, and I think, thank God that's not me, you know? And, you know, if you're new to this program, keep coming back. You know, they told me when I got here, give yourself a year. You know, do the 12 steps, go to meetings, do all the things that they suggest, read the book, and stay sober 1 year, and you didn't see, you know, and I'm still here. You know, I did those things. And my life is 100 times better than I thought it would be. You know, I seen what my family had, you know. I saw this material stuff. But being able to tell my wife that I love her. Because when I was growing up, we didn't say that. You know, I didn't hear it. You know, and telling my daughter that I love her. Or when I come home from work and, you know, you're just sitting there watching TV and my daughter says, "Dad, I love you." You know, that's better than anything that I've ever had. You know, and you know, it's amazing that I feel that way, because that was not me. You know, the whole lovey-dovey thing was not my style. And you know, if you're new, just give yourself a break, man. Try it. You know, you're in here for a reason. You know, something happened in your life that you're in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've heard it here, we don't get here on a winning streak, you know. My sponsor says it all the time, you know, and one more thing, you know, when you get a sponsor that has a sponsor, you know, get somebody that you know is doing the deal, and you know, surround yourself with people that are doing the deal. You know, if you surround yourself with positive people, you're going to become a positive person. You know, and when I got here, I had people that were, you know, boom, they were on it, man. You know, and going to meetings, my sponsor has 27, 28 years sober, and he goes to three or four meetings a week. You know, he'll tell you, When you can find it in the book, when he tells you, when you can go stop going to meetings, you let me know. You know, and he's got a point, because I have not found it yet. You know, I've been looking. But I don't think it's there. You know, and you know, I'm grateful for him, and I'm grateful for everybody that's here. And thank you.
Thank you.